To Your Excellency, the President of Concordia Theological Seminary, the faculty, graduates, students, honorable guests, ladies and gentlemen, it is a real honor and privilege that I can stand before you today to address this august house. My heart is filled with joy as I rejoice in quite a number of things today. First and foremost, that I am here at Fort Wayne Seminary, an institution well known for her confessional stand in Christendom. That I have come to receive one of my pastors who is to be conferred a Master's of Arts degree from this honorable seminary. That I have come to rejoice with my colleague, Brother Bent Birgersson, who is here to be honored with the Doctor of Divinity for championing the cause of Christian faith. May I assure the faculty that Reverend Bent deserved it. That I am here to be honored with the same, yet feeling that I do not deserve it. But it is done, and I am most humbled by this act. I am receiving it on behalf of all faithful students of the book. That I am here to celebrate the achievement of those who will be called and ordained to serve in the vineyard. It is therefore with great pleasure that I welcome everyone in this assembly to join us in this noble profession. Dear brothers and sisters, may I begin with a question that our Lord asked his disciples, as we find in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. I stand before you with one truth only. The gospel that we preach is more than words. It is the dynamic saving action of God in Christ Jesus through word and sacrament. It is on this understanding that we are called before God's people to witness Christ crucified in order that the truth of the gospel may remain and be the foundation and source not only of faith and life, but also to give God the glory he deserves in our worship. A time has come that we all need to rediscover ourselves, in particular our faith and confession that Jesus is Lord. As the faithful Christians do continue to confess this biblical truth, the devil is not asleep. He wants the believers to believe another gospel rather than the saving words of Christ. It is not surprising that the true believers are not given an opportunity to share the faith and conviction they have in some traditional Lutheran churches. Sweden and Finland are relevant examples that we can note here. Pastoral candidates are refused ordination because they oppose blessings of same-sex marriages presently advocated by the world religion under the name of Christianity. They are subjected to human suffering because of their confession and faith. To many today, classical Christianity, where the Bible is held to be the norm and rule of faith, and confessional writings as clear expositions of Scripture, is outdated. The church is losing her identity, and it is time we all stand up in the process of rediscovering our rich Lutheran biblical heritage. In the midst of this, we should also know that the road to truth is not an easy one. The Bible clearly states that in this process, Christians do share in the suffering of Christ as a result of confessing him, as Paul did put it right in Romans 8:17. May I call upon you to join our brothers and sisters in Sweden and Finland in prayer as they stand firm to confess Christ crucified in their home countries. In Christ, we know that this will be for a short while, and in the near future, it will succumb to the peaceful truth of righteousness. Today among us will be graduates from Concordia Theological Seminary. Some of you are already called to be pastors. Some of you will be deaconesses, and some are already ordained ministers. In your ministry, brothers and sisters, remember that in the society that is around us live people who are more intolerant towards the true Christian faith that we confess. Some people have been jailed in various parts of the world because of confessing the biblical truth. Some qualified people have been denied ordination simply because their only sin is standing firm for the biblical truth as confessed in our Lutheran confessions. May I at this point give glory to God, whom through his word have brought the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod this far, championing for the cause of God's only saving word. In the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we found a church with which we are united, the unity of faith, given by God to you and to us. And hence our open declaration of that unity when we signed altar and pulpit fellowship in the year 2004. May God grant us his strength and peace as we fight the widespread forces of relativism associated with postmodern philosophy. Know that all these are attempts of the devil to threaten and to shut up the true biblical voice of the Christian faith that Peter confessed. You are being called today, and Jesus is asking you the same question as he asked his disciples: whom do you hear people say I am? And that is too general. He comes with it directly to you and me. And you, whom do you say I am? Remember the answer Peter gave as we look forward to rediscover our true identity. We should always remember that the call to come forward and support people who are oppressed and cannot be heard is always there. It is argued that the liturgical worship service is taking people back to the primitive church. Let us be reminded that what is referred to as primitive is what is original, and what is original is the truth of the matter. We need to rediscover that the confession must be confessed in the liturgical life of the church, and as ordained servants of the word, we must rise up against all human opposition to the true proclamation of the gospel and put aside the human pride and hostility that tends to block the ministry of the word and sacraments. Today, issues related to gender, democracy, and human rights have become the rules and norms through which we must now define the context of Christian worship. The church is not ashamed to stand before her Lord introducing spiritual lesbianism by the novelty of women ordination in the church. As the postmodern theologians craves for gay marriages, gay pastors, and busy legalizing abortions. The trend comes with challenges. The questions from the Muslim world, the question from the African traditionalists, who now ask, which is worse, polygamy with clear conscience or gay marriages, which are even against nature? We should always remember that the desire to worship God always comes from God himself, and no human strength can stand on its way. The arrogance and hostility seen today that is used to deny those who stand with the word of God an opportunity to be ministers in the church shows clearly how today's church leadership assume that Christian worship is something that they do and not what, as Paul did say, put it, it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. In rediscovering our identity, we need to realize that in worship, God creates a response in us, and our task is to listen to him speak to us. And what we have heard the Lord speaks to us, we are called not to sit down, but to also share it near and far. This confession must also help us to draw a line between true Christian teachings that the church confesses and false doctrines. It helps us to draw a line between Christian faith and other faiths of the world that we witness today. What the Church of Christ needs to know today, particularly in Africa, more so in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya, is the fact that only the Christocentric exegetical study can help the Lutheran churches in the continent, which is marked by the aggressive expansion of Islam and the religious floodwaters of miracle-centered Neoplatonisms, Neopentecostalisms. Modern nihilistic Western exegesis has come to its dead end, which Luther formulated to Erasmus and all those who maintain that the Holy Scripture were unclear and ambiguous. Luther, take Christ out of the Scripture, and what will you find in them? In Africa, we need exegetical teaching and study in which Christ can be encountered in such a way that it is methodically and legitimate, sound, and scripturally genuine. We need doctors of the Bible who can satisfy the request made by some Greeks in the Gospel of John. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus, not those who doctor with the theology of the word. As your Lutheran brother from another continent, I also make to you the Macedonian appeal, come over and help us rediscover our Lord. As we gather here today, as Lutheran Christians in this renowned global fortress of confessional Lutheranism, we have the question and answers which our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself has already given to us. These questions and answers will give to us Lutheran theologians no excuse to compromise when toiling in the field of academic research. A good Lutheran pastor is always a competent theologian. A good theologian is always a man of hard work. And a pastor of hard work, hard biblical study, is always a God-fearing, humble, pious shepherd. An old maxim from the sayings of Reformation expressed this truth as follows. Indeed, it is the pastor's ministry and office that they study and they preach and they pray. Lastly, Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya is a young, growing, confessional Lutheran church with wide doors open for real biblical and confessional teachings, which removes all uncertainty in matters of salvation. In this regard, we are grateful for this seminary for all and for both accepting our students for studies here and also sending professors over to Kenya to our seminary and Bible colleges in order that we may achieve this desired goal. As we rediscover our faith, may we all grasp afresh with joy the certainty and perpetuity of God's word in Christ Jesus. Amen. God bless you all.